Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoyne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, 10% of Irish people report owning cryptocurrency. That's according to the latest figures from the central bank. So is this a surprisingly large amount? And do those involved know all of the risks involved with such investments? Technology journalist Emmett Ryan is with me now. Emmett, when we talk about cryptocurrency, what are we actually talking about?
So the term currency can often be a little bit misleading. So it's meant, it operates like a currency in terms of the trading market, so to speak, as in people buy and sell it. But you can't, say, buy a sandwich with it, really. Like, it's a classic thing. You can't just walk into a shop and spend it traditionally anywhere at the moment. There are some places which take it, but not many. And so, essentially, it's a digital currency of sorts. So there is a limited supply, typically, with these things, although what that limit is varies from crypto to crypto. And basically, you keep the currency digitally in a wallet. But it's really like an asset or a commodity that you're buying more than a currency in a traditional sense. Like, you're buying it sort of to hold, hoping that its value will go up, basically.
And you'll sell it again on that same
exactly.
Obviously, the best known one of these is Bitcoin. And is that the case still? Is Bitcoin still the market leader here?
By a very, very, very large margin. I think yesterday when I checked, it was about €78,000 in value. Now, that does fluctuate quite a bit day to day, so my apologies if it has changed substantially. But it hit a high of over €100,000 earlier this year.
Now, when you say that, €100,000 of what?
For one Bitcoin.
One Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Is 100.
That was the exchange rate, so to speak.
Wow.
And that obviously immediately sounds very appealing to people, because if you got one very early, obviously you might have made quite a bit of money since. But that key point is getting it very early. So there's an awful lot of other cryptos which will get released. And I mean, you're talking daily, there's new ones coming out, all different names, all different brands, but they don't hold that kind of value.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering how you can actually buy Bitcoin at all then, if one of them, like, can you buy 1/100th of a Bitcoin?
You can buy fractional amounts of them now. So typically, because it did mention a 10% thing, so that crypto doesn't just mean Bitcoin, but most other cryptos are rather dependent on Bitcoin for their price. Like, that's almost like the unifying currency of crypto, is the best way to put it. There's Bitcoin, there's Ethereum, which would be the next most valuable, and then there's an enormous drop really to everything else. And I say enormous, like, most of them you'll be talking at a value of substantially less than a cent, you know, for a single one of any of the other, for most of the others. And so these get released, and the idea is, if you get in early, and if this is starting to sound like a get rich quick scheme, you may not be mistaken. If you get in early, you might get it when it's still cheap, and then it'll go up, and then you sell it, and wahey. And we've seen a lot of people do, well, I say scams is probably a bit harsh. It has the mechanics of a scam, but it's so open you can't really call it a scam.
Yeah, you see what people are doing. It's timing is everything, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Timing is everything. And most of these, and we are talking in the hundreds of them that are out there, have no value of any real note.
And will never have any value.
And exactly, they will never go up at all.
So it's a massive punt people are taking.
It's enormous.
They do actually spend their hard-earned real cash money on this.
It is. But I suppose for a lot of people, it's sort of, you know, exciting is what appeals to a lot of them. Because I saw that number 10%. Now, obviously, that is like 10% of people have some amount. But, you know, that could be as little as a tenner, Katie. Like, you know, that's how little we're talking. So, you know, we don't have an actual value on how much is invested in Ireland. And I would say that as a total amount invested in Ireland would be inexplicably smaller, is the best way to put it. Like, obviously, there are some people who've done very well out of it, but they are an enormous minority. Like,
10%, though, all the same, I must say, I did do a second take when I saw that figure. And the central bank are also telling us that majority of these investors are young men.
Yeah, and I'm not too surprised by that, because when you think about traditional investing, like, you know, at its core, if it's going to work, it's going to be terribly boring, and people don't want to just take up a hobby that's dull, or, you know, a side hustle that's dull. Like, they want to do something that they're going to be excited by. And with crypto, the wild fluctuations in movement kind of add that bit of excitement to it, and it doesn't feel like gambling, even though it kind of is, and so it feels like you're doing investment, but you're doing investment in this thing that's more exciting than, you know, buying a traditional stock or a traditional commodity. And so you're feeling that you're part of this, you know, younger wave, so it has that natural appeal to it. But again, the people, like, most young men don't have an awful lot of money to invest, so the amounts going in likely aren't that great.
So it's like you have 100 quid spare at the end of the month.
You might throw it on that, yeah. And there have been these like trends. Like there was the Dogecoin was probably the most famous one for people in a few years ago when Elon Musk was, you know, pumping up all that. So a lot of people made, you know, nice little tidy sum of that so long as they sold early. Far more realised that the money they spent was not going to be made back because they held on too long, essentially. And they basically paid off all the others who'd made their money.
How much of a factor is Elon Musk actually in all of this? Because, you know he predicted the death of money.
Yeah, the thing is, like, the predicting the death of money, it's like, money's very, very hard to move purely because of just how useful it is, how functional it is to everything we do. So predicting the death of money is, like, you know, great to say as a point, but it doesn't really have any functionality behind it. Like, Musk, you know, he's probably the best known of the tech bros who is selling this hard. Like, he's very fond of it. And again, there is this element of you're part of this, you know, hyper-tech wave when you're investing in this. But for anyone who's looking at spending, like, you know, on this, like, I would say with anything you're spending money on, like, get to know what you're investing in before you spend any money. Don't just go, well, Elon Musk said it, or, you know, Emmett Ryan said it, or Katie Hannon said it, therefore it must be good. Like, kind of go, well, like, you know, why are they saying it? Like, what's the motivation? So the best example in recent times I can think of there is Hayley Welch, who's better known as the Hawktua girl, who some of your listeners would have heard of. She was basically a fad for one saying she had. She released a meme coin, as they're called, which is basically a form of crypto, and a lot of people spent money on it, even though, you know, I'm kind of going, who would buy money, you know, based purely on one, you know, 5 minutes of fame person's name being on it? And she made her money off it. Most people lost all the money they put into it. And, you know, like, again, like, when I say can't even call them a scam, it's like, it's so transparent. Like, when what they're doing is that transparent, can you really call it a scam? Like, you know,
what then is the security around these? Like, do you have, are they, you know, legislated for by the central bank?
There is some legislation there when it comes to banks, but, like, obviously they're still working through it because essentially, like, because it's so hard to spend them, they are treated more as an asset than a currency in the truest sense. And that probably is the best way to legislate for them in the time being, like, you know, treating them as what will happen if and when they become a functional currency. So that's the main approach that's been taken to date. Like, you do see, like, large investment houses investing in, but they're mostly investing in the likes of Bitcoin. And it's almost a sort of a counterweight to other things because, like, you know, when Bitcoin goes up, it's usually a sign that something in the real world is going down. Same principle, effectively, as gold, only not as reliable as gold in that sense.
So in terms of, you know, we're so used to hearing investment products being advertised and you hearing where that product is regulated. Is Bitcoin regulated here or crypto generally?
Generally speaking, it's kind of hard to describe. Like, the financial regulator, like the central bank, would be the overarching power over it, but they'd have very limited powers, especially as buying it isn't true traditional means. You've typically got to go through. Now, Revolut does offer a way, and others, PayPal, in some countries, but not Ireland, offers a way. But you've got to go through these other apps, which do have their own security, which is great. You know, quite often the security in purchasing is actually very, very solid. And if it doesn't look very solid when you're buying, don't trust the person you're buying from, is what I will say. But largely speaking, it's so, because they are so disconnected from, you know, the global financial system in the traditional sense, the regulation so far has been fairly limited into what it can do as such.
Okay. They are particularly volatile at the moment.
Well, they're always volatile.
I know very little, but I know that much. But are they? That was my question.
They've always been volatile. Like, I remember it was over a decade ago now, I think it would be, when I covered Bitcoin hitting $1,000 value, so even less than 1,000 euros against the euro, and it was going up and down. Like, the level of movement you see with a crypto normally only happens going downwards when an economy is in free fall. Think Yugoslavia in the 90s, think Zimbabwe, well, last 30 years, you know, it's like Weimar Republic. You don't normally see that level of volatility in the upwards trend, which is what we have seen with cryptos, and that they are able to go up and down at those ludicrous amounts.
What about this stable coin that the ECB are talking about launching a version of, pegged at the price of
those like are, you know, sort of trying to bridge the gap, really. So at stable coins, the idea is they'd be pegged to a euro, a digital euro would be pegged to the real euro in value. So its value would be so pegged to the fiat currency, the real currency, as we call it, that there will be that reliability to it. So the idea is to offer a digital alternative to the euro that is essentially, in every other respect, just a euro in digital form.
Okay. That will not be in the same bracket as what we've been talking
about. It won't. The idea is that it could operate the same way, but, like, wouldn't really fit in the same bracket at all.
Okay. Okay. Lots to think about. I'm not sure if I'd be rushing out to...
Yeah, just be smart about it, Katie, is what I'd say to people. Just take your time and be smart.
Okay. Okay. Emmett Ryan, many thanks for that. Very sound advice.
Bit of news in today for anyone who missed it. The teacher Enoch Burke has been told in the High Court he won't be released from prison for Christmas, and he'll have to stay in jail unless he purges his contempt and commits to not to trespass at the school, Wilson's Hospital, where he used to work. He was told he was ordered back to prison today for contempt of court by continuing to turn up at Wilson's Hospital despite a court order directing him not to do that. And the judge accused Mr. Burke and his family of engaging in what they said, in what he said was the most deliberate, sustained, and concerted attack on the authority of the civil courts and the rule of law in this country in recent times. There'll be more on that in news bulletins throughout the evening. Now, coming up after five, Minister Jack Chambers on the government's plan to accelerate infrastructure. Plus, is Ireland ready for a cyber attack?